Marie's success is just the fullness of the love that's in her heart. I think that's...
I have over 1 million followers, Mari Faye and Jake Snow.
You guys have millions of followers. It's like you open a business every second week.
Our dream hotel, our boutique hotel.
Our brand new spa.
I want to basically get your recipe for success.
We're a new generation with so many opportunities, especially online, that our parents and especially grandparents can't even understand.
Our parents, our brothers, our sisters, our closest friends, they definitely want the best for us, but they just don't know what that is. If I'm gonna get this girl, I have to be the best version of myself. You just gave our passports away and I'm like, I don't have a choice, I'm in love. I took action in those 3 days that I am most proud of in my life.
My favorite part of the story is when Jay gets a text message from a different woman. Welcome back to Success Leaves Clues. That feels really good to say that. I would say you're in for a treat. I got to interview some of the most inspiring people that I know and got to spend a lot of time with them recently. They are inspiring, yes, for sure, because of, I don't know how many millions of followers they have on social media, because of all of their successful businesses, but also because they talk about the challenging moments, about the dark sides. They are some of the most authentic people that I know. And we get to talk about some of those challenges in this episode. And honestly, it's at the end of the episode. That's my favorite part, when they start talking about working at a winery to be able to afford creating their dreams. It's such a beautiful episode. I would say, without further ado, here's Marie Faye and Jake Snow. Have so much fun. As an interviewer, I can tell you, it's a good sign when you can just lay back and you don't have to do much. You don't have to talk a lot. You don't have to ask many questions. It just flows. And I watched this episode probably 3 times, learned so much. You're in for a treat. Enjoy. Marie, Jake, thank you so much for having me in your beautiful space. Thank you for sitting down with me here. I know much of your story already, but honestly, I had so much fun preparing for this one. So like when I read your story, I'm like, oh my gosh, I got to talk about this one. And so many things that I didn't know about your story. So maybe to start things off, tell us a bit about how you guys met, because it's pretty special.
I think Marie can start, because the lead up to before we met was, I think that's probably one of the most crucial things about our story, and especially from Marie's side.
Yeah, so maybe first of all, I'm German, Jake's Australian. So it was already my first ever experience to meet an Australian. That was already the craziest part about it, fell in love right away. But to have a little bit of a lead up to it, I actually had a not so good experience in my life first before it then turned beautiful. My dad and my mom both got sick. My dad was diagnosed with cancer. My mom was bipolar through the results of my dad, and because the doctors weren't giving him much time to live anymore, and it was like a really hard time for me. I was 19 at that time. And it went for over 7 years. And then my dad passed, and it was really, really difficult for me at that time. I was also studying a dual education program in Germany and working a lot until I reached like a point where I was like almost burnt out. And I was like, okay, I haven't done any therapy. I haven't dealt with the grief. I'm just functioning right now, so I'm going to take some time off. I worked with a coach for 6 months, and then after that I quit my job and I said, okay, I'm going to move back to Spain. I grew up in Spain. I'm going to study in Barcelona, and now I have 8 weeks where I can just enjoy myself or go to Asia. I'm definitely not going to meet anyone because I've plans, in Spain, and only 7 days into my trip I met Jake at a beach. And yeah, it was just, I was so blown away by, you know, being German, by this like easygoing Australian, yes, like positivity. And I was like, how can someone be just like going through life just always believing everything can turn good? And yeah, Jake also really surprised me in a way how he then committed in a very unique way. And I think that's where I can pass over to you.
Yeah, so
who approached whom first?
Jake came over. I was with a couple of friends. Jake came over and introduced himself and like teased me a little bit right away. And then we started chatting. And then we were like a group of people in the water just having beers. And his best friend was sitting next to me. And he's like, I'm going to get you another beer. And then he slid in next to me and never left, kind of.
My friend's name is Scott Rogash. Uh-huh. And the running joke is that if he didn't go and get those beers at that time, it would have been Marie Faye and Scott Rowe, not Marie Faye and Jake Snow. But it was, I saw Marie, we were sitting on the beach having drinks with my friends. I saw Marie like 50 meters away when she went into the water. I said to my mates, I was like, by the end of today, I'm going to be talking to this girl. And then had a few more drinks, got some liquid courage and went over. And so this was in Koh Tao in Thailand.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful place.
We, at that time, we'd known each other for probably 2 weeks and neither of us had checked each other's Facebooks or anything. So it wasn't like a Tinder matchup or anything. It was like, it was just a really real, we didn't even know how old each other were for the first like few days. We didn't even ask those questions. It was just real, genuine, like, connection and chemistry. Mm-hmm. Thankfully I had the guts to pursue it, because after that, I basically chased her all around Asia for like 4 weeks, stalked her.
We met for 2 nights and then I said, I'm leaving the island, I'm going to another one. And he's like, where are you going? And I'm like, Koh Phangan. And he's like, we're also going. And I'm like, okay.
We're going.
And then 4 days later, he's like, I'm flying to Cambodia. And I was like, oh, okay, have fun. I'm going to Vietnam. And then he flew into Cambodia, took a bus and arrived in Vietnam the day I arrived there. And then I think after the 2 weeks we spent together in Vietnam,
these 3 days is like probably some of the things I did. I took action in those 3 days that I am most proud of in my life. Because you know, beforehand, you're always playing games in relationships. You know, when you're in the dating scene, it's always like, oh, play hard to get, or, you know, don't reply back straight away or anything like that. And when my plan was to go to Cambodia, we'd already booked the flights. Our whole trip was planned out. I'd met Marie for 3 days. She was going to Vietnam. I was going to Cambodia. And I was with 2 mates as well. So, like, our trip was planned. And I got on the ferry from Koh Tao or Koh Phangan to, like, say goodbye and, you know, okay, let's, like, try to catch up in the, you know, before I'm leaving Southeast Asia. And as soon as I got on that ferry and I said goodbye, I sat down and I was like, what am I doing? I don't have to go to Cambodia. Like, I think I love this girl. Like, it's crazy, but I genuinely have feelings I've never felt before in my life. Mm. And I just made that decision in that moment. I said to my mate, as soon as we get to Cambodia, I'm on the first bus to Vietnam. And you can come with me or not. It's happening. I don't care what I have to do. I ended up giving our passports to like a random guy to quickly get the visas, because you need a visa to cross the border to Vietnam. Mm-hmm. Paid this guy like $200. My friend was freaking out because he's like, you just gave our passports away. And I'm like, I don't have a choice. I'm in love. Like, I got to get to Vietnam. And when I did that, Marie's kind of walls started to drop, because she was like, wow, this guy's willing to do a lot for me. And it continued on from there. I had to go home to play football, and then I flew back to Bali to see her, and I went home for 5 more days, and then I flew back again. And I think me putting in that effort, the commitment is what showed Marie that I was serious. And I truly felt something in my heart. And instead of being in my head about it and thinking through it too much, I just was like, follow the heart and go for it. And it really panned out. I'm lucky she didn't break my heart, to be honest, because I was all in. Yeah.
Well, same for me. I think it was like a great like give and take. Like the fact that he was just giving up his travel itineraries that he had planned, and then following me then made me give up my master program that I already paid like $5,000 for, and I had an apartment organized in Barcelona and so on. And talking to people at home, they're like, what is going on with you? You just quit your job and now you're hippie and now like you have a partner. Jake had long hair at that time, you know, who just changed
up until 3 days ago.
Yeah, but they were like, what's going on? Like, what are you doing? Are you on drugs? And I'm like, no, like I'm just in love. Like, I'm really in love. And I think that was the magic we had. Whoever was with us in that time, they're like, wow, like this is like, you guys don't care about anything but just having like an amazing time together. Mm. And I feel like this is also how like the magic and like got brought into our life for everything then that evolved, because we were always like dreaming up those things that were still realistic and we just followed it like day by day. Mm. We just envisioned like our dream life and then made it happen.
My favorite part of the story when I prepped this episode, when I went through your whole story, everybody can read it. It's really entertaining, by the way. I think you have it saved as a highlight. I went through it. My favorite part of the story is when Jay gets a text message from a different woman. Not that he gets the message, but your reaction. Yeah. And I don't know how it was at that moment when you saw that message, but the way you dealt with it made me so happy. But maybe tell us from your perspective how it was for you.
So it was, I think, day three. And we really liked each other at that time. We'd already kissed and like we were really intimate. And I told my friend Sophia that I really liked him. But I was also like still knowing like I had planned Spain. And obviously after 3 days, you're not thinking to change your plans. But I really liked him. And then Jake lost his phone. So he asked to log into his Facebook from my phone. Mm. And when I went to my phone, his message then popped up with the first few words. And then I saw it and the girl said, can't wait until you're back here. And immediately I thought like, is he in a relationship? Who's this girl? And whatever. But instead of... And I think my old me would have probably reacted differently. I would have been like dealing with it like by myself and then would have just like been like more distant to him. Mm. And then like probably just said, it's nothing. Like we're not special. Instead of that, I was just super open and I said, hey, Jake, sorry, but I just saw a message that I wasn't meant to see. A girl texted you that she can't wait to see you again. I just wanted to let you know, like, I really like your vibe. I think it's something really special, but we were on a holiday. I also understand if you just want to have fun, that's completely fine for me as well. I'm also down for that for the next few days. But I'm not playing games. I'm not gonna like text you and then don't text you or do anything like to get you. I'll just be very honest. If you're in, I'm in, and otherwise it's cool.
I think actually, I don't even think you said if you're in, I'm in.
Yeah, maybe not. No, I was thinking that.
Because I remember after that conversation, I felt sick. Like my stomach dropped. Because I think she basically said, I thought what we had was special. Mm. And obviously you're still talking to other girls and, you know, maybe you don't feel the same way. And then, you know, the conversation broke up and I was sitting in my room and I just felt sick. Like my heart just dropped. And, my mates were there and I was like moping around and I was like, oh, I messed this up. You know, like I felt like an idiot. And in previous times, her coming and saying that would have been like the perfect get out of jail. You know, like, okay, great. No commitment. You know, she's like happy to just have fun on a holiday. Like that's like my old me would have been like, this is perfect. Let's just have fun. You know, no commitment, no strings attached. But I didn't feel like that at all. I felt like I'd completely messed it up. And her coming to me and being so open about that and saying, look, I'm not playing games. Are we, you know, special or not? It just made me step up as a man for the first time in my life, I think, to be like, if I'm gonna get this girl, I have to be the best version of myself. And that, like, I can't be messing around with other girls. I can't be talking to other people. Like, I have to be all in. And in that moment, I just made the decision. I'm like, I am all in. And I think I went through that night, my Facebook, my Instagram, my messages, and deleted every single girl that I was, you know, intimate with before and still messaging and kind of playing games with and flirting. I deleted them all in that day. And then I had to fight then probably for the next 3 days to like win her back.
I think it was in 3 days.
Maybe 2 days.
Once you came to Vietnam, it was like game over.
I had to convince her that I'm like, I am serious. Yeah. Like, trust me, like, you know, it would, if I could take those messages back, I would. But, you know, I was still in, you know, having conversations with other people. It was only 3 days. And so it really lifted me to become a man. And I'm so happy she did it, because if you were distant, if she was distant and pushing me away, it just would have felt weird and I wouldn't have known what to do. And then I think we would have just went our separate ways. But thankfully she didn't do that, and it helped.
And yeah, the message he also told me, it was the girl he met like already on the travels before, and
6 weeks before.
Yeah. So they were going to catch up again, and obviously like we just met, so I wasn't upset about it. I just wanted to be clear for the future and not like talk about what had happened before.
The reason why it was my favorite part is because you had the courage to speak about it. This wouldn't be something I would take for granted. And you took self-responsibility, I would say, and also empathy for, you know, hey, we just met. You could have also blamed him. You could have also just said, oh, another one of those, and just ignored him.
You're just a player.
But it sounds like you went there with self-responsibility and being vulnerable, like, hey, I really like you. It was probably painful for the both of us. Let's address it instead of ignoring it and pushing it away.
Yeah, it's true. And I think Jake and I spoke about it a lot, why it was so special when we met. And we both, like, I went through, like, the family issues, and Jake went through, like, a lot of years of partying and, like fun, but not, like, pure purpose and happiness. And, like, he never had a relationship before and just always fun. And he was also at that stage feeling like, is this it? Like, there must be more to life. So like when we met, we were both like very like open, vulnerable, and at a high energy. Mm-hmm. I was so happy for the first time in my life to get out traveling. So I think I also was my best self when I met him. I wasn't worried about working because I just quit. So yeah, the energy was what drew us to each other, I think, the most. Yeah,
for sure.
And so you guys, I mean, there. Who wants to, please, everybody go read the full story, because Jake did some crazy things, like basically traveling from one place to the next one. And you got it so too?
After like 1 week.
No, I didn't know that.
Yeah, M and J, yeah.
That's an M and a J. And the story behind that is that we went to Vietnam together. We were in Vietnam for 2 weeks, and that's when we really fell in love. And I really started to believe that I was willing to do anything for this girl. And I was still in my like drinking phase. And like, that's just what I knew. I was always single when I was drinking. There was one time where I got really wasted. And the morning after, Marie's like, I really don't like seeing you like that. Like, that's a different side of you that I don't like.
Just to say, like, we were drinking every day, but that was like a way, like, he was so wasted that he didn't even recognize me anymore. And I was like, okay, that's a bit much. Yeah.
And that was also the first time where I was like, I need to clean up my act. I never want her to see me like that again. It, like, seeing her face reacting to me in, you know, disgust, in like, who are you, was really painful. And so that kicked me up another gear, and I started, that's from then my drinking days have just gone all the way to basically nothing now. I barely ever drink. So but when we were playing some games and, you know, doing Never Have I Ever and like Truth or Dare and stuff, and there was one where like they said, what are the odds that you would get a tattoo of an M on your body? And I said something like 10 odds or whatever, and I didn't lose. I didn't lose, so I didn't have to do it. So I went home to Australia to work and play football. And then I planned the trip to come to Bali to see Marie again. And when I landed in Bali, before I was coming to see her, I thought to myself, like, what if I just got the tattoo? Like, and just show up and just be like, I did it, you know? and so I just, in a moment, I just went to a tattoo place and I said, like, I drew it on a napkin and I said, I want this M and a J right here. And I did it. And as soon as I did it, I was like, what have I done? Like, she's going to think I am a psycho. You know, we haven't even known each other for a month and I'm already getting a tattoo of an M on my body. And in that moment, I also was like, this is make or break. She's either going to think it's super romantic and be like, you know, wow, I can't believe you did that. Or she will go the other way and be like, okay, this guy's too much. You know, he's really. And when I met her and I showed her, it was the first version. It was, she thought it was super romantic and it all worked out. And so I was also grateful for that crazy decision that I made. But love makes you do funny things.
True, especially if you follow your heart. Yeah. Talking about crazy things and crazy decisions, I would say. If I remember correctly, this was 2016, right?
Yeah.
And now, I mean, in the present moment, you guys have millions of followers, multiple businesses. You guys, it feels like you open a business every second week. I'm like, oh, they have a new business. you do obviously a lot of great things. But looking back, 2016, so that's 8 years ago, what made you decide, hey, we actually going to try this online business influencer thing. We're going to travel together. We're going to, you know, come up with a dream. What was the initial thought or the vision? How did that happen?
I think most of the time when we do interviews, we say like it just happened. But if I really think about it, I think I envisioned it already like in the back of my head without even knowing, because I was, before I started my trip, it was 8 weeks. I always watched those YouTube videos of like people I know now, like Los Lebong and like Jay Alvarez and like these people. And I was always like, oh, that would be so cool to have this live. And then all of a sudden, like when I met Jake and then decided not to move to Spain, and I had like, I think roughly like 20,000 euros saved, and Jake also saved good money. We're just like, okay, let's just travel the world. So we started traveling together. And because we were seeing, for the first time I was in Asia and like seeing amazing places, and then we went to America and Central and South America. Jake was already doing those little videos on his GoPro, and I just took photos like here and there. So I just started posting on my account, Jake posted on his account. And I did that every single day with no intention to make it something big, but I just did it. And eventually it grew from like 200 to 1,000 on our first 6 months trip with like zero intention. And then people said like, wow, you have 1,000 followers. At that time, I thought it was a lot, you know? I was like, yeah, I know, like, wow. And then after the 6 months of traveling, Jake took me home to Australia and we bought a van and made it like look really pretty. And then we took photos of the van. And then the first, I think we had 3,000 followers and we got 3,000 likes on the photo. So we're like, wow, this is almost viral for the amount of followers we have. And this is when Jake also was like, maybe we could do something out of it. And he's the entrepreneur. I'm the implementer, but he's the one who like envisions things. And then he's like, well, if we find a way to work online or make like a certain amount of online income, then we can still like travel. And that was like when it slowly in 2017 like started to become like a proper idea, and then we like set goals. And
but I think we happened. Being from Germany and Australia, it was also became very clear to us early, if we are going to have a life together where one of us doesn't have to just sacrifice everything, so for example, me moving to Germany so then Marie can be close to her family, we get jobs together in Germany, now I have a different world. Or vice versa, Marie coming to Australia, giving up all of her friends and family and moving to Australia. Those were like our two options. And we knew early that if we could find a way to earn income online and create a business online or be able to just be remote somehow, then we could have our dream life. We could be in Germany with friends and family for a while, then we could go to Australia and we wouldn't be restricted by our work schedules. And so we probably started dreaming about that 6 months in. We said, how do we do that? Like, what does that even look like? Not many people were doing it back then. It was like bloggers. There was a lot of bloggers. And so it was like the way to do it is to start a blog. And when the Instagram, Maria was kind of pushing the Instagram thing. And like she said, when that first photo kind of like got a lot of likes, I think a light bulb went off in my head. And I was like, 3,000 people. That's a lot of people who liked our photo. That's a market, you know? And if we commit to this, maybe we can grow this. But in 2016, it was still that thing. It was like, maybe we're too late, you know?
There
was
already...
On Instagram, like we saw all of these Jay Alvarez, Jacob, Do You Travel, all of them. We're like, they've already made it, you know? It's too late for us. But after that first kind of hit of like, that van trip we did, we just loved creating content. And then we really loved, I think what separated us from other people was we, along with the beautiful content, we would always share like a bit of our philosophy about life, about relationships, about travel and like what we were doing. And we would write, you know, big captions, big, paragraph, two paragraph captions to discuss what was in the photo and how we were feeling at that time and the sacrifices we were making and what our friends and family were telling us not to do basically at the time. And I think that's where it all started to blossom.
And the key factor was that when once Jake got me back to Australia, we did do seasonal work in a winery.
Yeah.
So we'd always make like a good amount of money, like save 25,000 Aussie dollars, let's say. And mm-hmm. then we were free for 8 months. So mm-hmm. there was no pressure like, oh, we need to make a living. Otherwise, like, we don't know where to stay the next day because we're running out of money. So this gave us the comfort to really like work on it with a passion and not with pressure, I feel mm-hmm. like.
So you worked at the winery to be able to afford basically working
travel.
On
your dream, to yep. travel.
Exactly.
Yeah. We did that for 2 years before we went full-time in 2018.
And the winery work was 4 months,
mm-hmm.
night shift, 12-hour shifts, 6 days a week.
Brutal, yeah.
We would start at 7 p.m. and finish at 7 a.m. And we would do that for 4 months straight. So
while posting twice a day.
Yeah,
and
we were like, continuing yeah. to post on Instagram. So, but it like that 4 months for us was like, we do this 4 months, then we have 8 months of pursuing our dreams, traveling the world together. It was nothing sacrificed
and
for us.
Jake was really good in like dreaming it up. He's like, you know, Marie, if it's not going to work right away, we do that for 10 years. We save money. We can buy a house from like the winery, you know, and still have a good life. And I was like, yeah, okay. And I liked having realistic goals because I'm someone, if I don't hit my goal, I get upset or like frustrated. But this way we always like had like, let's make $800 each, $400 from Instagram. That's our goal for next year. And then like,
I love that.
Of course it felt good when it was like more and more. Yeah.
This podcast is relatively young. And if you want to support our mission to give you access to the most extraordinary minds, to the most helpful success recipes, well, then you can do something that takes about 3.5 seconds, which is to subscribe to this podcast. Gives us the ability to give you access to the most amazing guests. So just click on that button. Helps a lot. Takes 3.5 seconds. Thank you so much. And I'll see you later.
Yeah, it reminds me of my story because I used to work from 6 till 2 at DHL, do you know?
Yeah.
It's a thing. So I would deliver mail and stuff. While doing that, I would listen to podcasts and audiobooks.
No way.
So that I didn't feel like work at that time because I knew, oh, once I'm back at home, from 2 until 10, I'd work on my, you know, first YouTube videos, on my first podcast, on my Instagram post. I didn't have an idea of how I'm going to do this. And I love what you just said. You set such a little goal of like saying 400 euros. You can't live from it, but you got to start somewhere. It's yeah. like when you go to the gym, you're not just saying like, oh, it's my first chest session. I'm going to try to hit 100 kilograms. You start with an empty barbell. And I think that's one reason why so many people fail.
Yeah.
They have really high expectations, they try and like, this is not working out for me. But they don't see the months, if not years, that you put in before.
Exactly. I think this is really, really important. We also never compared ourselves. Of course, we were inspired by people that were big, but we were clearly having like idols that were just a little bit further ahead. Mm-hmm. So it was realistic for us.
Yes.
And especially for me, like, you know, when you say like, happiness is actually your expectations minus reality.
Mm-hmm.
But if the expectations are so high, the reality is never going to hit it. So you're never going to be happy. And for me, it was like, let's do little things. You know, we had like, the German gave us a budget of 25 euros per person a day, like 50 euros to live. And Jack's like, why? We have more money than this. I was like, yeah, because I want to save $8,000 at the end of the year. So if we have an idea, we can invest into it.
Uh-huh.
And Jack in the beginning was like, what do you mean? I like waste my money right away. You know, like this is what I'm used to do. And once he was committed to like creating content, we had 4,000 followers. He spent from the 25K, he spent 15K on equipment all of a sudden. So from growing, not wanting to take photos to then best camera, best drone, best laptop and everything. And I had a heart attack. I was like, what if it's not going to work? We invested so much. And Jake is always like, no, it's going to work. Like, let's have fun with it.
That was a lesson in investing in yourself for sure.
Yeah.
And I knew that if we put it in, then we'll do it. You know, that was kind of my theory. It's like, okay, we've bought all the equipment now. It's an extra bit of motivation to actually get started. And then I think 3 days in, I like crashed the drone.
Oh my God.
Marie was so upset.
I was so upset.
Lost it into a river. And so it was completely gone. But yeah, we we definitely started with very low expectations. And we said, because we spent time in Bali, we were like, 800 euros a month in Bali goes a long way. So if we can just hit that,
back then.
We live in the dream. back then, yeah.
I mean, if you're still staying in a very low-key house and you have food at like Warung's, then you can still...
And one thing I have said to a lot of people now, because I literally remember quoting this to Marie. I said it to her so many times. I said, as long as we are together and we're happy, I could live on a hammock on the beach and just drink coconuts and like go spearfishing and have nothing. And I would be happy. And I genuinely believed it, genuinely would be happy with that lifestyle. And so from that as a base, it was like everything else is a bonus. And it really makes me think now, because obviously we've been together, we've been through a lot of stressful situations, we've lost money, we've started businesses. When our relationship is not good, doesn't matter how much money is in the bank. Like literally, you could have millions in the bank, business is successful and everything, but if she's upset with me and I'm upset with her and we're not talking and we're having a grudge against each other, life sucks.
Yes.
It purely sucks. But if we're good and we're happy and we're in love and we're laughing together and whatever, the whole world could be crumbling down around and it doesn't matter. Life is amazing because we have that. And from the beginning, that helped us a lot, having that relationship together where it was like, as long as we're good, everything is good. And I now, having been in a relationship for a long time, 8 years, realize it's so important to actually have that with yourself as well.
I was going to say that. Like, it's not only the relationship to someone else, but also to yourself.
Because if you feel good inside yourself, you're proud of yourself, you love yourself, and you feel good, doesn't matter what's happening on the outside. And then coincidentally, everything on the outside will start to get better because of what's on the inside.
And this is also sometimes where I feel like social media is a bubble, because people just obviously see most of the time the good things. Mm-hmm. And I am someone, I share on the stories the bad days. Yeah. And then I get comments like, why do you have a bad day? You have everything that you would want. You have a partner, you have money, you like have a beautiful life, you live in Palma and Bali. I was like, yeah, but if I'm mentally not good, it doesn't mean anything, because I still feel depressed. I'm still not good. And I think this is so important for people to know, that look at the Instagram and might like not have a good day and then be like, oh, why are these guys always so happy?
Mm-hmm.
This is not the case. And I think it's really, really important to show this more.
1,000,000%. And if I think about you, and I would explain, yesterday I was thinking, okay, if I would introduce Marie-Faye and Jake to my parents, or like my family, who have no idea what social media even is. Like every single time when I come home and they ask me, what are you actually doing? Like they're really genuinely worrying. What are you actually doing? And I'm trying to explain. They're like, eh. You know, it's a different time. But when I was thinking, okay, if I would be introducing them, Marie-Faye and Jake, to my family, what would I say? How would I describe them? And one word that pops up is authenticity. I love that about your channel, about the work that you're doing, that you're not only sharing the beautiful life, but also the hard moments. Every single time when I see that, it does something internally. I'm like, I'm so grateful that you speak about it, because I then also know if I go watch your content, I know it's honest. And I know it's not just, you know, the highlight reel. And I think it's so important nowadays, and it's so beautiful that as society, we're shifting more towards that authenticity. People don't want to just see the good moments. Yeah. And I think it's so, so important, so beautiful. Every single time when I have a guest on my podcast who talks about his or her challenges, the best responses, or like the most responses. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much for talking about that.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for showing up.
Because you also don't feel like, you feel like you're different. And why do I have the problems and those influencers don't, you know? Why do I have these challenges and these influencers don't? And I think that's not fair, because I know it's a fact. All my friends in the industry struggle with things, and also especially with social media, because to be a public figure, like to be so open and vulnerable, can be really hard as well. Like I've had issues with it where I said to Jake, I don't know if I can do it, because I want to be authentic. I want to speak up about certain things, but sometimes I'm also afraid, because I know that I put a target on my back if I do that, because not everyone thinks the same way. Or like when I then say like I'm really struggling with my endometriosis, then people are like, oh, why are you complaining? Like there are bigger things in the world. Of course they are, but I still want to inspire the people that have the same issues or feel like they can relate to me in that moment. And I also, I'm not a person, I couldn't smile into the camera if I'm feeling horrible that day. I just can't,
There's a phenomenon on Instagram and social media in general where the more personal you get on your channel with what you share, the more personal the responses you get from people, negative and positive. And so it can be very scary to be authentic, because then people will tell you what they really think as well. If you're just positive, all sunshine and rainbows, you're not going to get any hate. But when you start talking about things that mean a lot to people, or you know, depression, anxiety, issues around the world, that's when people will start coming for you. And I think it's one thing to be authentic in real life. That's pretty easy. You know, you see people, you look into their eyes, and it's like, this is me, I'm human. It's really hard to fake that. Social media is so much harder to be authentic, because the last thing you want to do when we're having a fight, for example, is pull out the camera and start recording it.
Oh, well, of course.
You know, or like when Marie's depressed on a day, or something huge mess up in our business or something like that, the last thing you're thinking is, oh, I should share this.
Yeah.
It's just not in your head.
Yeah.
And so what naturally happens is, yeah, when you're having fun and everything's good, you pull out the camera and you record and you're happy. And so that's where the content usually goes. It's so hard. And Marie does this really well. When she's struggling with something, she's good at like in that moment being like, this will help people if I share this.
A lot of times I share it like the next day or something, obviously not that day, but yeah.
But just, yeah, like thinking like, trying to like snap out a little bit and say, if I do show this, it will help people, and it will maybe also help Marie kind of get out of that funk as well. But it's really hard. And anyone who does it online, super proud of them for being able to do it. I think you're the same as well. It's really hard in that moment to share that because you're not thinking about it.
And one thing I also want to add to this, why sometimes, because I still get sometimes people saying like, why are you not speaking more about this and this and this? Jake and I consciously decided to not watch the news TV anymore. We don't have a TV in our house like 8 years ago. Because we are creating our own environment, and we all know if you're in a nice environment, meaning good people, great like place to live, then you're automatically the best self, you know? So if I'm continuously speaking about negative things all the time, I don't get out of it myself. You know, like when I'm saying like, don't think about an elephant right now, of course you're thinking about an elephant. So if I keep saying like, I'm not good, this is not good, this is not good, then it's really hard for me to be happy that day because I'm speaking it out, I'm writing it, I'm thinking about it. So I do that to help other people, but I can't do it like all the time. Like I can't only talk about things that are not good because otherwise I'm not creating the life and the environment that I need to get my energy, get my positivity out of it.
Quick one, but important one. If you enjoy this podcast, you will love our Fire Within retreats. We create not just retreats, but life-changing experiences, usually at very beautiful places. It's for everyone who honestly loves to grow. That's the only requirement we have. During those days, you will have a blast. You will meet amazing people. You will cry. You will laugh. You will jump. You will do things that you've never done before. And for sure, you will grow. It's a perfect mix between relaxation, recharging, and growing and learning new things and creating the life that you really want and that you really deserve. You will walk out of there with a big smile on your face, recharged. Usually people who come to our retreats don't use their phone during that time. It's really time for you to reflect, to create consciously the life that you want. If you would like to relax, and I mean really relax, recharge, and learn life-changing tools, click the link that you will find underneath this video. You will get a special prize as a listener of this podcast. Thank you so much. And who knows, maybe I see you in Italy, in Spain, Austria, or wherever we decide to host a retreat. Now let's continue.
Yeah, it's a tricky thing to also, like I struggle with that, finding a boundary between, okay, that my people would be excited about hearing that, but do I really want to talk about it?
Yeah.
It would get a lot of traction, But am I just in it for traction and views and likes, or do I really want to share the things that are meaningful to me? Because I don't want to fall into the trap of, you know, doing everything for likes and attention.
Yeah.
If you talk about a breakup, will it get a lot of traction? Yes. Do I feel comfortable about it? No.
Is it going to serve you in your real life?
Exactly. Probably not.
That's a really good point. I think a lot of people, we're in a society now where the media gets attention mainly from negative news. And I listened to a podcast about this, and they kind of explained it in a evolutionary way. It's like us as humans, we're way more attractive to negative news, because if it impacts our safety, mm-hmm. we need to react very quickly. So imagine if we were in the plains in Africa way back, and you know, there's a lion. It's like negative news, get out of here, go. So we're wired mm-hmm. to look for that news for our own safety. And so the media have caught on to this. And so if you got turn on the media now, it's just all of these bad things happening all around the world. And you know, when you take that in, and if you're an empath, it's just like the whole weight of the world is on your shoulders. And so the way that we've kind of dealt with that is to stop looking into all of the news. Of course, we want to try to support and do the best we can where we can, but drawing that line and saying, hey, look, the place where we can have the most impact is where we are right now, with the people that are around us, with, you know, our staff, with our dogs. And, you know, we found a little dog on the road, and we rescued the little dog the other day. These little things, if we all did those little things, then the whole world would improve. You know, we can't, unfortunately, have an impact on a political situation in another country. Like, a lot of people think we can, but we just can't. And then we're feeling negative, we're feeling down. And like you said, if we talked about it, we'd get a lot of attention.
Yeah.
But that's not what it's about. Yeah.
1,000,000%.
It's tough.
Yeah. I wanted to, of course, the podcast is called Success Leaves Clues. I want to basically get your recipe for success. You mentioned a couple of things. I remember the big word commitment. Knowing what you want and then just going for it, whether in your... And what I heard, especially from you, Jake, is you were not in your head. You were connected to your heart. Mm-hmm. You were committed and you just went for it. Would you say that's in business as well?
100%.
Yes.
100%. Yeah. It was... I got out of my head very early with Marie and just said, hey, my heart is like throbbing for this girl. I'm going to follow that. And then when everyone was telling us this Instagram would never lead to anything, what are we thinking? Marie's quitting her job. I'm quitting football. It was like the heart was like, no, this is what you want. This is where you should go. And same when we moved to Bali, same when we started a business. It's just always from the heart, always. And of course, you have to be analytical in your head. You can't just dive into something stupidly. But if your heart is like pulling you, compelling you, follow it. I think that's our number one piece of advice. We would not be together as a couple if we didn't follow our hearts. We wouldn't have the success that we have if we didn't follow our hearts. And thankfully we did, and everything has evolved from just listening to the heart.
What I can say about Jake is he's a person, and I think Axel, you're the same. You guys just want to grow, you know, like not only in business but also as people. So like you said, you were listening to podcasts all the time. This is how I met Jake. Like, he introduced me to books that I didn't like read before, and he's always like someone who wants to grow, and I think that's really inspiring. But I also want to talk about the people that are not like this, like me, for mm-hmm. instance. I'm really a person who needs security. I'm not so confident in like stepping out there and doing risky steps. Maybe also because I'm German, maybe also because I lost like my parent figures when I was 19. But that doesn't mean that you can't go for your dream. It's just maybe a different strategy, you know? I think definitely what's important is that you do understand yourself the best way you can. So like, whether that's coaching or like listening to podcasts in that way, looking for your human design, like really figuring out like, who are you? What do you want to do in life? And what are my strengths? And sometimes we don't even know that about ourselves, but we have close people that can tell us. Like, my dad used to say always, like, Marie, you can sell me anything. Like, you're so, like, once you're convinced, like, your eyes, like, you just go for it. You have fire. Like, you need to do something in sales. I worked in sales for 6 years before I met Jake. But now, in a way, I'm selling, like, the dream life. I'm selling inspiration as well. Mm-hmm. So I found my true purpose. I love inspiring people. I love connections. So I did that, but I did it in a secure way. I knew I wanted to save money for 2 years, so I did step by step, and then saw what's realistic for me. And I think that's also possible for a lot of people. What changed my life was getting out of, I don't want to say you need to move, but like surround yourself with people that are supportive and that are positive, because what you're hearing every day will convince you or not convince you to go for your dream. And even going back after I met Jake for two or three weeks, I went home for 2 weeks by myself before we caught up again and then never left each other. Mm. That was a really tough time because it was almost like, was that like a dream? Was it just a holiday? Am I like spinning this way? And it's not realistic, because people were trying like to pull me back in again. Like, come on, Marie, are you sure you like want to like spend your university money now on traveling with this guy you just met? Mm-hmm. But it felt good, like Jake said, from the heart. But just being surrounded by people who think the same can help you so much. It doesn't need to be everyone, but just like a couple people.
To add to that, if you're here in Bali, for anyone that's come to Bali, you want to tell someone about your goal to start a spa or, you know, become a coach or do anything. You tell that to people in Bali, they're saying, amazing, how are you going to do it? And then you start like brainstorming about ways that you can achieve this. This is not everywhere around the world, but definitely my hometown, Marie's hometown, probably your hometown, Axel. You talk about those things and people say,
what about this? You know, what about like, that?
Well, yeah, like first it's time a things pipe that dream. Yeah. It's just, you know.
Reasons why it won't work.
Exactly. Yeah. You'll come back, I'm not sure about that, sounds risky or whatever. And it's a completely different energy that you're receiving. And so here in Bali, that's one of the reasons why we love it so much. But another bit of advice I would tell most people is that if you're onto something that's good for you, most people will think that it's not good for you. And that's almost like a trigger for you to say, I'm doing the right thing. Because every single person who's come to us and said, guys, I want to grow my Instagram, I want to do this, but my friends think it's weird, I don't want to share because like my friends are making fun of me or whatever. It's like, that's a part of it. You cannot reach a level of success without people trying to pull you down. So if you can just remember that, like, people are trying to pull me down, they're being mean, you know, they're saying that I can't do it, it's like, amazing, I'm onto it. Yes. You know, that it's like hard to do that, it's really hard. But Marie and I, in the beginning, we got so much shit from people, like my friends specifically, because they're Australian footballers. I'm taking photos on Instagram with this girl, couple photos, and they're just like, what is going on? And like, they was calling me names. And luckily, I had this love in my heart that was like, you guys are missing out. You know, I'm with the girl of my dreams, traveling. Like, anything you say to me is not going to get through because of that love. And I'm so happy I found her. In hindsight now, looking back, for people who don't have that, maybe you're single or, you know, you don't have that passion with somebody to get you through, you just have to have that passion and love for yourself and your dreams, your life. Because mm-hmm. if you believe in your life and your dreams, and it's like a shield when people are like shooting arrows at you, it just bounces off. You say, nothing you say is going to hurt me because I'm going for my dreams. And yes. you can do whatever you want, but this means more to me than anything. And that's when it doesn't hurt anymore. And then you're on a path to achieving, you know, awesome things.
Mindset is the key always.
Yeah, I love this quote by Tony Robbins. Success is mainly psychology. 80% of success is psychology, 20% is mechanics. Mm-hmm. Because there's so many talented photographers, videographers, whatever, in your space. But what makes the difference is the psychology, how you manage your emotions, having the courage to be truly yourself and having the courage to, you know, also being okay with people not liking you, people putting their insecurities onto you. Mm-hmm. This is not possible for you because, and then it's their own story. And still until today, it fascinates me. When I go back to my hometown, by the way, I feel exactly the same. All of my drive, all of my creativity, energy, feels
crazy,
like,
isn't it?
It dropped by 70%. Like all the conditioning from my childhood comes back, and then going to the places, Cool. I can spend 24 hours here, but then I'm gone.
Yeah.
And but looking back nowadays, when someone tells me, "Oh, this is not possible" or something, I kind of like, "Oh, it's another one of those," mm-hmm. those moments where people try to, you know, put their own securities onto you. Maybe not even intentionally, but that's what we do.
It's definitely not intentional. Like,
it's mirroring.
It's coming
it?
From the people yeah. that love you the most.
Yes,
that's the thing. Like our parents, our brothers, our sisters, our closest friends. They definitely want the best for us, but they just don't know what that is.
Mm.
And so if we listen to them, we're lost. But yeah, it's not intentional at all. And that's the thing. We're never saying, you know, these people are bad people or anything.
Yes.
It is, they're trying to look out for you in the best way that they know, but they have no idea what you want and what your dreams are until you tell them. And, you know, maybe you have to have that sit down with someone and just say, look, I respect you. I love you. And your opinions matter to me, but please only speak positively of what I'm trying to achieve now, because it affects me a lot. If you have that clarity yes. with someone and they love you, they will respect that. And then you know, if it's hard for you to deal with it, then you won't have to deal with it anymore. Yeah. I would say that to people for
but
sure.
If we really think about it, we're a new generation with so many opportunities, especially online, that our parents and especially grandparents can't even understand. And like mm-hmm. what was risky back then was maybe to open a barber shop or like a hairdresser shop or something in the town, because you'd have to invest money and it's risky. Nowadays, like we can move away, but it's so, like, for them it's impossible to understand the feelings of why are we now in Bali, like what's so good about it. And I feel like, especially for me, the way I was growing up and conditioned, I was always scared to do those things because I never learned them. Like, you don't learn that at home if you don't have parents that are super open-minded, let's say. And through Jake, then, like, the door opened and I was like, holy shit, like, there's so much I could do. But it's always out of your comfort zone. And most people at home love comfort zone. They love knowing what happens the next day, that they're going out with their mates, having beers on the weekend, that they watch a football game. It's also nice. And I feel like it's happiness for a lot of people. But if you are like us, then maybe you want something like a bigger purpose in life. It shouldn't be bigger, but like just
different.
You know what I mean? Yeah.
1,000,000%. So I have this vision that one day I'm going to write a book with all of the success recipes. And when I say success, my definition of success is being truly aligned with your purpose, happy. I would love to hear from you, as kind of like closing ceremony, what is your definition of success? But it doesn't happen every day that I have a couple in front of me. So what we're going to do is, Jake, you tell me what you think Marie's definition of success is. So we do it, we turn the tables. So if you want to start.
Marie's definition of success is definitely to have love in her heart with the people that you love the most, and sharing enjoyable moments with those people. That's success to you, I think, and having as many of those moments as possible with the people that you love, and the things that you love. It's just, for Marie, success is just the fullness of the love that's in her heart. I think that's...
You're going to fry here.
Yeah.
Would you say it's accurate?
Yeah. With a purpose, for sure, like, and this is also connected to love. Like, I need to do something that I'm truly loving and passionate about, and I'm really caring about good connections in life, yeah, and good memories with people that I love. Yeah.
What would you say is Jake's definition of success?
I think Jake's definition is to become the best version of himself and never stop growing. I think he's someone who just wants to evolve and be proud of himself. Like, I'm a lot of external, you're a lot of internal. And then also through that, giving possibilities to people that you love and having those moments with those people, like growing yourself, growing your own family and like the people around you with things you truly love doing, which is right now building things like businesses, places that other people can also enjoy and feel what you feel when you're there.
That's pretty spot on. I think for me it is... If success for me is if I can look myself in the mirror and be proud of myself, and the people I love the most can be proud of me and I can support and protect them, my life is happy. You know, that's success to me. So it's not a monetary number. It's not an amount of businesses or anything that we have. It's just me being proud of myself, the people around me being proud of me, and I can support and protect all of those people that I love the most. That's success.
And I think both of us, we loved adventures when we met, like the adventure of meeting each other, traveling, and now the adventure of life. And I think we're both people that just love to have this adventure in life and not just like stop now, you know, even if we could now, we just want to like explore more about each other, about places, about companies we can grow, other people. And I think this is what really excites us. Yeah.
It's beautiful how accurate it was for us.
Yeah. We know each other.
We had a lot of discussions together about this because we've evolved a lot in our relationship and learned a lot as well about masculine and feminine energy. And I think for a long time, maybe we were trying to please each other in the way that we would want to be pleased or loved, and realizing that, you know, actually for me specifically, having a purpose, a reason to wake up, building things and fulfilling my potential is love. And so when Marie is respecting me and saying that she's proud of me, that's how I feel love. And then the other way around, if I was to say, Marie, I'm super proud of you, that also is great for her, but she needs to feel my love. Like it needs to be closeness. It needs to be me giving her a hug and a kiss and seeing in my eyes that I really love her and mean it. And so we've spent a lot of time really understanding each other. And
I think we went through a lot of seasons as well. Jack and I really always go back to that quote, kind of that we had the season of figuring out what we wanted, then growing this community to build something, then building the businesses for the last 3 years. And now through our wedding recently, we also realized, wow, like we spend a lot of time on building things, but what's our true success, you know, like also having the connections and the good times. So like we're now in the season of also enjoying more again. Yeah. Not that we didn't enjoy before, but in a way we were hustling a lot.
Yes. Thank you for sharing that, because it's the same for me sometimes. I'm like, oh, okay, am I fulfilled here?
Yeah.
And what do I have to do to be really aligned with my version of success and my version of fulfillment? The last question that I have is, if you would have this book in front of you right now and you could write one piece of advice or one belief about success in terms of health, wealth, relationship, you pick one thing that you could put in there for the world, for my future kids, maybe for yours, who knows, if you one piece of advice or one belief that you think this will really help you in life.
I think it's what Marie said before. Surround yourself with people that inspire you, who you want to be like, and who you can learn from. That will change everything in your life. If you're surrounded by the wrong people, you will go in the wrong direction. So it's put yourself in the center of the people you admire the most, who you can learn the most from, who you want to be like. Find a way to get yourself in that. Would have the biggest impact.
One of my favorite quotes from Jim Rohn is like, you're the average of the five people you spend the most time with.
It's so true.
I don't know if it's like exactly the average, but there is a lot of truth to it. Yeah. And Marie, what is your...
You stole it. No. I think, and this is what I had to learn and still growing every day into it as well, is stop listening and hearing what's from the outside and what's affecting you from the outside, especially like in negative things, and start looking into yourself and start building yourself up from the inside and your mindset and how you feel, like health-wise. Do the things that make you become the best version of yourself from the inside. And then you're becoming invincible, and then it's clear to you what your mission is, and then it's clear to you what makes you happy. Because a lot of times we through society we get told what's happiness for yourself, but you are you and no one else is you, so only you know what makes you happy. So start by you and not looking right or left what other people do, and focus on you, and if you do that for a bit, then everything will become great.
Wonderful. Well, thank you so much. I want to acknowledge you for your authenticity. I think it's really what makes you guys special, for your commitment to growth and letting us be part of your life. Every single time when I go to your page, it will make me grow. It will inspire me. It will make me laugh. When I saw Jake getting his haircut, I was like, this is amazing. And for making this world a better place at the end of the day. And I want to thank you for your time.
Appreciate it.
Really excited for your new podcast. Yeah. Thank you so much for letting us be part of it. And we're really excited to get that book.
Yeah, I'll send you one of the first copies. Pinky promise. And if you guys ever come to Bali, you have so many projects that we could potentially go to. If you want to go to the spa, you could go to Maja Spa.
Maja Spa.
You could go to Maja Spa. If you would need a hotel or a place to stay, you could go to
Maja Chengdu.
You have plenty of places, right?
Yeah, we've got a couple of villas in Sese as well, and another little boutique hotel called Belajar.
And if you love it so much in Bali and you want to build a villa, you can go. you can also contact them. It is unbelievable what you guys do. Thank you so much for your time, and until next time, thank you so much.
Thank you, Axel.
Thank you, Axel.
Appreciate it.
Makasi.
I really hope you enjoyed today's episode, just as a little gift from our side, from my team, because you stayed until the end of this episode. 30 days of free Fire Within membership. I created the Fire Within membership to give you guys access to the tools that have changed my life, the lives of my clients, and give you also access to a community of like-minded people. We have guided breathwork sessions, guided meditations, guided visualization practices, really tools that enable you to create the life that you deserve and that you want. And it's one of the best things we have ever created. Hundreds of people, life events, sessions that will blow your mind. 30 days for free. You will find the link in the description. Thank you so much, and until next time.